Matthew chapter 8 is where we're going to begin. If you want to be turning there, Matthew chapter 8. Are you filled up today? Well, some of us are. I hope the rest of us will get full today. Get filled with God's Word. Get filled with God's presence. Get filled with the things of God today. We've been in a series for several weeks on living the Spirit-formed life, or the Spirit-filled life. And I'm sharing disciplines, 10 disciplines, that are necessary for living a Spirit-formed life and becoming a true disciple of God, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I just want to review with you quickly this morning. The discipline number one was hearing God's voice. Then there was the power of baptism, water baptism. And then there was celebrating the Lord's table. Number four was walking in forgiveness. Probably one of the most difficult things that we need to do. Then there's feeding on God's Word. Maintaining a heart of integrity. And last week we talked about opening to the Holy Spirit. If you weren't here last week, I want to encourage you, if you've missed any of these weeks, go to our website, go online, and you can watch the message online through our website. I want to encourage you to do that if you missed last week. As I said last week, that was probably one of the most important disciplines of all, because all the other disciplines hinge on that and are connected strongly to that. Today, we're going to talk about a life of submission. And I've kind of broken this into two parts. So you'll get part of it this week and part of it next week, because it's full. And it's important as well. But there's been probably few ideas concerning discipleship in Christ that have been more distorted than the concept of submission. You see, we're never called to a limited, restricted existence. Instead, we're called to a liberation of refusing a worldly, carnal insistence on my own rights. See, we get hung up on my own rights. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you have to deny yourself. Not very appealing to the mind, is it? I'll answer that for you. No, it's not, is it? Deny self? We don't like that, do we? He said, if you're going to follow me, you need to deny yourself. The truth is, there's not many of us willing to acknowledge our need of this discipline called submission. In fact, much of the church today, In much of the church today, many have glorified the idea of autonomy, of independence, of the idea of I can do whatever I want because I have freedom in Christ. You see, the issue is the spirit of submission, not freedom to do your own thing. Liberty in Christ isn't a perpetuating self-rule of the soul. Well, Pastor, what do you mean, self-rule of the soul? Well, the soul is where our mind, will, and our emotions reside, in the soul. That's what it's made up of, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And so you think about submitting your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's a challenge, isn't it? And so often it's a perpetuating self-rule. You see, freedom is meant to free us from practicing sin, free us from the selfishness of the soul, and to free us from a lone ranger mentality that carries with it me as the single controller of everything in life. You see, the spirit of submission, lived out in biblical terms, purposes that God, could use other people to teach me, to surround me with supporting ideas, and to help me grow spiritually. You see, it's a voluntary, and get this, voluntary willingness. Those are kind of two of the same thing. A voluntary willingness to be accountable to others, even if it means at times they may challenge or correct me in a spirit of love. And of course, submission is a scary word for so many people. The reason is, I believe, so many think of submission as being exploited, manipulated, or dominated by another. So I want us today to try to understand its true definition. The true definition. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. I'm going to read 5 through 10 and then 13. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him. A centurion was a high-ranking Roman officer, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And if I say to this one, go, he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. How many of you know Jesus was a hard guy to impress? Well, when this centurion, when he heard this, Jesus marveled. He was impressed. He was moved. I think he was even taken back. And he said to those who followed, Assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Underline the word faith. If you highlight it. I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. In verse 13, he said, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you have believed. So let it be done. As you have believed, let it be done. And his servant was healed that same hour. Why did I have you underline faith? Because submission is an act of faith. The centurion understands submission and order. He knows that as an officer, his submission to authority over him is the source of power that he had. Not derived from himself, but delegated through an appointed order. You see, the centurion recognizes Jesus as a man of great authority and power in the spiritual realm. And so he believes all Jesus needs to do is speak a word, and that authority to heal his servant goes out. This is a biblical example of the true spirit of submission, and at the same time, an example of faith, as Jesus declared here. You see, the centurion's faith of submission released the healing power of God in his servant's life that was far away. Let me tell you this. There's a glorious release of power that awaits the individual, the congregation, and the entire body of Christ if and when we learn to submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God, respect, and reverence to His divine order. Amen. The Greek word for submit, and if you're interested in the Greek, it's hupotasso, H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S-O. And I don't even know if it's pronounced correctly, but that's what it is. But the Greek, in the Greek, the word for submit is related to to a military structure, which means it's designed, listen to this, to assist the effectiveness of all, to assure the interest of all, and to assemble the entire body together to resist and overthrow the enemy. Now think about that as it applies to the church. Think about that as it applies to the church. You see, the Bible is clear. There's a God-ordained order for all facets of our lives. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. There is a God-ordained order for all facets of our lives. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. This is easy so far. It's going to get tough in a minute. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and has given him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Jesus' example calls you and me. Jesus' example calls you and me to discover the power release and maturity that will occur in us and through us if we properly learn the spirit of submission. Amen. Here's the point. The path down, submitting, is the way up, receiving authority. The path down, submitting, is the way up, receiving authority. Right there we heard it. Jesus humbled himself, made himself a slave, submitted to the Father's will, and the Father raised him up and gave him authority over heaven and earth and everything in it. Remember that. The way down is the way up. Go back to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. Still with me? It's quiet in here today. Matthew 20, beginning in verse 25. But Jesus called them to himself. You see, you know, Jesus calls us to himself, just like he did the disciples. Jesus called them to himself. You know, he says, that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. In other words, he says, we don't do it that way. We don't do it that way. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Submission to God's arrangement and order is not designed to rank people above others. It's to serve the interest of all. So the whole body, or the whole army, if you will, has victory. You see, the submitted disciple learns that there's a mutual protection where the church is concerned. If submission is being lived out like this, three ways. Committed involvement with a church family. Committed. That doesn't mean show up when you don't have anything else to do or it's not sunny at the beach. Committed involvement with a church family. Number two is submitted service as a member of the body. Submitted to serve as a part of the body. And the third thing is acceptance of personal accountability to others in Christ. You see, we don't like to be accountable as people. It's not in our nature. That's that soulish control thing. You see, in God's order, everybody wins. If the attitude is, let me say that again. In God's order, everybody wins. If the attitude is, Lord, teach me my place. I humbly yield to learning and growing. Then everybody wins. You see, society interprets submission to mean control or enslavement or domination, and it really doesn't mean that. The truth is, there's no such thing as forced submission. True submission can never be forced. Why? Because of this next point. Submission is an inner attitude. It's a heart issue. Submission is an inner attitude. It's a heart issue. An issue of the heart. You see, it can never be required. It can only be given willingly. In Christ, we have to learn the spirit of submission as it relates to others as we serve. You see, this is how a spirit of submission works. We learn it as it relates to the others that we serve, others we serve under, and others we don't want to serve at all. It relates to all three of those, that spirit of submission. You see, willingness, humility, and servanthood must be in our sights at all time if we're going to learn submission. Willingness, humility, and servanthood has to be in our sights all times if we're going to learn submission. Now, I may submit, but if internally I resist or I resent that submission, there's no spirit of submission there. And in that regard, a person will not experience the power of God or the power that God intends for them. And guess what else? They miss the blessing. The blessing of submission. You see, true submission is more than reading or hearing it from the Bible. It's more than that. It's learned. It's learned in passing all the tests of life. How we choose to submit in the most basic situations of our life is real evidence of how submitted we really are. So let's get real. And let's look at real life tests that we encounter, okay? Can we do that? Here we go. I'm talking about submission, an attitude, a spirit of submission. As a husband, men, how do I relate to my wife? As a servant or as a tyrant? As a responsible leader or a heels dug in child? As a wife, how do I relate to my husband? As a supporting partner, manifesting a unique sweetness and love potential in true femininity? Or as a complaining, controlling nag? As a parent, how do I relate to my children? As a role model, serving their needs as an example of what they can become? As an interested dad or mom, caring, correcting, affirming, and disciplining when necessary? See, these are real life situations, aren't they? As an employee, I'm not finished yet. I'm going to touch everybody today. How do I relate to my job? What spirit do I relate to my job, my fellow employees, or my supervisor? As a trustworthy carrier of my share of the work? As a dependable, on time, you can count on me partner? Or as a passive, disinterested, only do what I gotta do, pain in the butt to be around? Or maybe the religious freak at work who talks faith but does not bear witness to it in my daily approach to my job. I'm almost finished. As a Christian, how do I relate to my church? As a supporting giver, active servant, right-spirited team player with the leadership? Or do I carry an attitude as, I'll give, but to what I want to? I'll attend, but don't ask me to do anything. I'll be around, but I'll keep to my distance. Or I'll be a part, but I have the right to murmur and criticize when I want to. How do we relate? What spirit do we have in all those life circumstances and settings? Now, I'm not saying we don't all have struggles in one or more of these areas. But listen, it's only by our willingness to learn and to grow in these situations that we will ever become what we can be in Christ. Amen. Jesus was the model of the submitted life. And even so, he functioned with more dynamic power and authority than anyone in human history. Born in a barn, baptized to serve the Father's purpose on earth, accepted rejection without retaliation, willingly accepted the spitting in his face without response, prayed, "Not my will, Father, but yours be done." Accepting the ripping and hanging of his body and responding, "Father, forgive them. They don't understand." You see, when the disciples wanted to call fire down from heaven on someone who had rebuked Jesus, he basically said, "No, that's not how we do things. And you don't understand the spirit that you are under." Jesus taught that the spirit of his kingdom is not to exercise power to prove you're superior or you're right. Instead, he teaches that we're called to the spirit of submission, to a higher power, the power of love that given time will bring trust and responsiveness. You see, there are husbands who never earn the spirit of submission from their wives because they never lay down their own lives for her. They just lay down their own laws, demanding their own authority. There are wives who never draw from their husband's best responses because they're unwilling to surrender to the possibility that if they show a sweet spirit of submission, They might get a positive response. They don't want to risk losing control in order to get the potential that God has for the relationship. So many lessons, so many opportunities for application to learn the spirit of submission. Worship team, would you come up? The path down leads to the way up. The path of submission leads to authority. When we submit to God's order, God's ordained order of authority in our lives, in all aspects, in different places and dynamics of our life, He will lift you up. You don't have to lift you up. He will lift you up in the right time, in the right place, in the right way. You know, here's the bottom line. We are all, listen to this, we're all pencils in God's hand. In the hand of God, we're all pencils that He's trying to write love letters through to the world. Sometimes the lead gets dull, but He'll sharpen it if we allow Him. Sometimes the lead breaks, but He'll reshape it and make it stronger if we allow it. Let's pray. And as you go into time of prayer, I want you to focus on the Lord. Focus on what I just said. We are all pencils in the hand of God that He's trying to write love letters to the world with. Let me ask you this morning, what is He trying to write with and through you? Think about that right now concerning this life of submission. What is He trying to write with and through you? Who does He want to write to, with and through you? Your spouse? Your boss? Your coworker? Your children? Maybe somebody in your realm of influence who needs to know Jesus. And God is trying to write to them through you. But are you willing to submit to whomever and whatever is necessary so God can write the letter in you and through you? It starts by submitting to God. It starts by submitting to God right here and right now. So what is He speaking to you today? Are you living a life of submission? Are you truly in your spirit a lone ranger? You try to play the part on the outside, but inside there's maybe resentment, discourse, selfishness. What is it? Here's the invitation this morning. God is everywhere. And the Holy Spirit is in this place today. What is He speaking to your heart? Do you need to make a fresh commitment of submission to Him? And then submitting to the things that He shows you? Submitting to Him as that pencil in His hand, allowing Him to write that love letter to the sphere of influence that you live and operate in. Altar's open, you just do business with God this morning. But God, I can tell you this, He's calling every one of us to a deeper level a spirit of submission to Him, to each other, for His kingdom, for His glory, for His honor, for His purpose. If you need to come and just submit your life to Him, do that. Maybe you're not a Christian today, and you're sitting here and you say, I don't know what this submission to God is about. It's about giving up self, trying to live life your way, just releasing your faith, putting your faith in God and taking it out of yourself, putting your faith in Christ as your Savior. Asking Him to forgive you of your sins. And just by faith receiving Him. Submitting your life to Him, to Christ, as an act of faith. Because it is faith. Submission is faith. You willing to do that this morning? I can tell you, it will change your life. Christian, you begin to live a life of submission. See how your life changes. See the release of the power of God in your life. See the release of His blessing in your life. A blessing of peace, of strength, of wisdom, of love. Submit to Him this morning. Submission is, we think of losing control. We're really not in control anyway. We just think we are. When we're in control, we kind of make messes, don't we? Submission is trusting God. Having faith that if I submit in all the aspects of my life, beginning with Him, and in faith, trusting Him for all those things we worry about, all those things we try to control. Submission says, I trust You, Lord. I trust You for the outcome. I trust You for those things. Trust Him this morning. Submit yourself to Him. The Bible says, submit to God. The devil will flee. Father, I thank You that the submitted life is a good life. The submitted life is Jesus' life. It's a life that Jesus calls us to. The submitted life is a life in Christ. And a life becoming like Christ. It's stepping out of where we are and stepping in to His calling. Allowing Him to release, to build, to grow, and to mature a spirit of submission to Him, to each other, and to the body for the strengthening, the coming together, for the common good of all, to bring the body together. to push back and defeat the enemy, Satan. God help us. God help us to be a church that thrives in a spirit of submission, so that we can live in your power, in your presence, and under your blessing, and your strength, and your direction. God help us to be people submitted to you and walking and living a life of submission. Jesus' name. Amen. If you made a decision of any kind this morning, I hope that the Lord has spoken to you through His Word and through His Spirit. If you made any kind of decisions this morning, please fill out that connection point. There's places on the back to check if you've committed your life to Christ or whatever, made any kind of decision. We just want to affirm you and pray for you. Pray for those things in your life and encourage you. And so do that. If you're watching by internet and you made a decision, go to our website, contact us there at our website, and send us a message that we can pray for you and pray with you and encourage you. Okay, ushers, if you'll come forward, please. Ladies and gentlemen, it's offering time.
What can I say?
Hey, that was weak. It's offering time. Hallelujah.